Words move. Music moves only in time. But that which is only living can only die. Words, after speech, reach into silence. Only by the form, the pattern, can words or music reach the stillness, as a Chinese jar still moves perpetually in its stillness. Not the stillness of the violin while the note lasts, not that only, but the coexistence. Or say that the end precedes the beginning, and the end and the beginning were always there, before the beginning and after the end. And all is always now. Words strain, crack, and sometimes break under the burden, under the tension, slip, slide, perish, decay with imprecision, will not stay in place, will not stay still. Shrieking voices, scolding, mocking, or merely chattering, always assail them. The word in the desert is most attacked by voices of temptation, the crying shadow in the funeral dance, the loud lament of the disconsolate chimera. The detail of the pattern is movement. As in the figure of the 10 stairs, desire itself is movement, not in itself desirable. Love is itself unmoving, only the cause and end of movement. Timeless and undesiring, except in the aspect of time caught in the form of limitation between unbeing and being, sudden in a shaft of sunlight. While the dust moves, there rises the hidden laughter of children in the foliage. Quick now, here, now, always. Ridiculous the waste, sad time, stretching after. You're listening to The Underworld on CICK 93.9, Smithers Community Radio, broadcasting from an old train car off Highway 16 in Smithers in Cassia House Territory in the Canadian Clan Musqueam Nation. My name is Gavin Smith. And that was a passage from Burnt Norton by the poet T.S. Eliot, who will be the focus of today's episode. And T.S. Eliot was born in 1888 in Missouri, but moved to England and lived most of his life there before he passed in 1965. And we're going to spend not only today's episode on T.S. Eliot, but we're going to do multiple segments on T.S. Eliot. And the reason is that he has inspired a lot of songwriters. In fact, there is a Guardian article entitled, "I Will Show You Arcade Fire in a Handful of Dust, Why Pop Music Loves T.S. Eliot." And the byline says, "Scratch any literate songwriter, Win Butler, David Bowie, P.J. Harvey, and beneath the surface you will find a debt to T.S. Eliot." It goes on to say, Eliot would not have loved pop music, but pop music loves Eliot. So there are so many songs that we're not able to fit them all into one episode, so we're going to do more than one. I am going to start with a reading that may be familiar to anyone who took a lit class in high school, myself included. This was the first T.S. Eliot poem that I ever heard, and that really gripped me. And it's called The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. Let us go then, you and I, when the evening is spread out against the sky, like a patient etherized upon a table. Let us go through certain half-deserted streets, the muttering retreats of restless nights in one-night cheap hotels, and sawdust restaurants with oyster shells, streets that follow like a tedious argument of insidious intent, to lead you to an overwhelming question. Oh, do not ask, what is it? Let us go and make our visit. In the room, the women come and go, talking of Michelangelo. The yellow fog that rubs its back upon the window panes, the yellow smoke that rubs its muzzle on the window panes, licked its tongue into the corners of the evening, lingered upon the pools that stand in drains, let fall upon its back the soot that falls from chimneys, slipped by the terrace, made a sudden leap, and seeing that it was a soft October night, curled once about the house and fell asleep. And indeed there will be time, for the yellow smoke that slides along the street, rubbing its back upon the window panes, there will be time to prepare a face to meet the faces that you meet. There will be time to murder and create, and time for all the works and days of hands that lift and drop a question on your plate. Time for you and time for me, and time yet for 100 indecisions and for 100 visions and revisions before the taking of a toast and tea. In the room, the women come and go, talking of Michelangelo. And indeed there will be time to wonder, do I dare? And do I dare? Time to turn back and descend the stair, with a bald spot in the middle of my hair. They will say, how his hair is growing thin, my morning coat, my collar mounting firmly to the chin, my necktie rich and modest, but inserted by a simple pin. They will say, but how his arms and legs are thin. Do I dare disturb the universe? In a minute there is time, for decisions and revisions which a minute will reverse, for I have known them all already, known them all, have known the evenings, mornings, afternoons, I have measured out my life with coffee spoons. I know the voices dying with a dying fall beneath the music from a farther room, so how should I presume? And I have known the eyes already, known them all, the eyes that fix you in a formulated phrase, and when I am formulated, sprawling on a pin, when I am pinned and wriggling on the wall, then how should I begin to spit out all the butt ends of my days and ways, and how should I presume? And I have known the arms already, known them all, arms that are braceleted and white and bare, but in the lamplight downed with light brown hair, is it perfume from a dress that makes me so digress? Arms that lie along a table or wrap about a shawl, and should I then presume, and how should I begin? Shall I say, I have gone at dusk through narrow streets and watched the smoke that rises from the pipes of lonely men in shirt sleeves leaning out of windows. I should have been a pair of ragged claws scuttling across the floors of silent seas. And the afternoon, the evening, sleep so peacefully, smoothed by long fingers, asleep, tired, or it malingers. Stretched on the floor, here beside you and me, should I, after tea and cakes and ices, have the strength to force the moment to its crisis? But though I have wept and fasted, wept and prayed, though I have seen my head grown slightly bald, brought in upon a platter, I am no prophet, and here's no great matter. I have seen the moment of my greatness flicker, and I have seen the eternal footman hold my coat and snicker, and in short I was afraid. And would it have been worth it after all, after the cups, the marmalade, the tea, among the porcelain, among some talk of you and me, would it have been worthwhile to have bitten off the matter with a smile, to have squeezed the universe into a ball, to roll it towards some overwhelming question, to say, I am Lazarus come from the dead, come back to tell you all, I shall tell you all, if one, settling a pillow by her head, should say, that is not what I meant at all, that is not it at all. And would it have been worth it after all? Would it have been worthwhile, after the sunsets and the dooryards and the sprinkled streets, after the novels, after the teacups, after the skirts that trail along the floor, and this and so much more, it is impossible to say just what I mean. But as if a magic lantern threw the nerves in patterns on a screen, would it have been worthwhile if one, settling a pillow or throwing off a shawl and turning toward the window, should say, that is not it at all, that is not what I meant at all. No, I am not Prince Hamlet, nor was meant to be. Am an attendant lord, one that will do to swell a progress, start a scene or two, advise the prince, no doubt, an easy tool, deferential, glad to be of use, politic, cautious, and meticulous, full of high sentence, but a bit obtuse, at times, indeed, almost ridiculous, almost at times the fool. I grow old, I shall wear the bottoms of my trousers rolled. Shall I part my hair behind? Do I dare to eat a peach? I shall wear white flannel trousers and walk upon the beach. I have heard the mermaids singing, each to each. I do not think that they will sing to me. I have seen them riding seaward on the waves, combing the white hair of the waves blown back, when the wind blows the water white and black. We have lingered in the chambers of the sea, by sea girls wreathed with seaweed red and brown, till human voices wake us and we drown. That was The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock by T.S. Eliot. And I should say, I didn't mention at the beginning, I'm reading from a book entitled T.S. Eliot Collected Poems, 1909 to 1962, inscribed by my mother. Thanks, Mom. Happy reading, son, 2002. So that's very nice of my parents. And I'm going to turn now to, we're going to play a little set of four songs, all of which have a T.S. Eliot line in them, or reference. So see if you can pick them out from the, they're all from the Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock that I just read. See if you can pick them out, and we'll go over the songs when we get back.
To the She swayed in the shells, a whisper in the waves. How I listen as I sail, straight backed and pale, her opalescent gaze. How the gulls cried, how the sunlight fades, gliding above the bar. Thank you.
just a soul singer. Class of 78, Sunset Strip. Cause I've been out of high 20 years with 30 something SPs. What a trip. Never drink beer with the boys, but the love we share was the art of noise. Those puffs of smoke made me cough. I'm not a chimney, so you can't call that shit soft or turn me off. Sworn and pressed on. Plus, I never got a rhyme by a drunk. Now, a style is your hair, something you wear. Who said it's getting suited? To your brain polluted. I ain't playing. Main shit staying rooted. Instead of being pimped, get prostituted. Won't be the last time, cause it ain't the first. So do I dare to serve the universe?
Universe. Getting you down like gravity. 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 Getting you down like gravity.
Going down, 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 diggy, diggy, down.
No U-turn, I pump up, hitting switches. But all this talk reflecting niggas and bitches. Where that come from? Only labels can explain, but they play dumb. What they take from? I hit them up the rhyme up a gut. Tell me what they've done for me lately, but hate me attacking. Might as well beat them but tacky. This hip-hop sent me, so they can't stop me. The rhyme animal has resurfaced, wrecking all elements, destroying all irrelevant. It all comes down to this. What good is talking about the hood when you got motherfucking madness? Am I ringing no senses? Brothers drinking worse shit than they be pouring in their business. I give a damn, so I curse. So do I dare disturb the universe.
Universe. Getting you down like gravity. Getting you down like gravity. Getting you down like gravity. Getting you down like gravity.
Going down, 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 diggy, 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 down.
See, I always been a rebel. Now I got my own comp. Brain drain on that devil level. You don't measure a man by what he got. It's what he does, what he's left, and what he's taking care of. A brother like me annoys him, but I'm cool, G. When I rap about him, it's poison. Everybody wanna be Big Willie, chasing down Luke. Dope and Newt, who do you shoot? I'm figuring targets while you're figuring Figaro. Figaro, so papa for the Niggero. I ain't chasing no movies like Jason or Lollapalooza, cause I ain't no loser. Rough stuff to the baby, spread like rabies to the heads of heads. But I ain't crazy. Chorus to the chorus, verse to the verse. What do I dare? Damn. Disturb the universe.
Universe. Getting you down like gravity. 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 Down like gravity. Kick you 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 down.
Welcome back. That was a set of four songs, all of which have a line or more from the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock by T.S. Eliot. You might have, we'll go in reverse order, starting with the last song that played. You might have noticed the chorus from that one was Do I Dare Disturb the Universe, which is from J. Alfred Prufrock. That was Chuck D of Public Enemy. Before that, we had Arcade Fire, We Used to Wait, which had a reference to Like a Patient Etherized Upon a Table, paraphrased. And Wynn Butler from Arcade Fire has talked about taking inspiration from T.S. Eliot. Before that was Laura Veers with the song Margaret Sands, which opens with a paraphrased variation of I Should Have Been a Pair of Ragged Claws Scuttling Across the Floors of Silent Seas. And then lastly, we had John K. Sampson with the song Alpha Adept, which is from his solo album Winterweed. He's also known as the singer of the Weaker Thans, sort of the nerdy poet laureate of Canadian indie rock music. I don't know if he would appreciate being described that way, but I'm a big fan. He made a reference to mermaids singing each to each, but he talks a bit about the reference in the song. And so I'll read from an interview from him. John K. Sampson says of the song, "One of the themes that runs through this record is delusional thinking and how sometimes we need to learn to live with our delusions, accept them, in this case turn them into a useful reason to live, especially if the only other option is to let them control and destroy us. I was also interested in misinterpretations. For example, sometimes a misheard song lyric is better than the real lyric. In this case, I imagine the protagonist of Alpha Adept reading The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock by T.S. Eliot and thinking the mermaids at the end of the poem aren't going to sing for Prufrock because they are actually aliens from outer space delivering a message to him instead, letting him know they are going to return to Earth and take him away to a better place where people aren't so cruel." Nothing if not creative. We're going to go out on one last poem from T.S. Eliot today. And thanks to our supporters, including BV Farmers Market. The last one I'm going to read is an excerpt from The Dry Salvages. "To communicate with Mars, converse with spirits, to report the behavior of the sea monster, describe the horoscope, haruspicate or scry, observe disease in signatures, evoke biography from the wrinkles of the palm and tragedy from fingers, release omens by sortilege or tea leaves, riddle the inevitable with playing cards, fiddle with pentagrams or barbituric acids, or dissect the recurrent image into preconscious terrors, to explore the womb or tomb or dreams. All these are usual pastimes and drugs and features of the press, and always will be, some of them especially when there is distress of nations and perplexity, whether on the shores of Asia or in the Edgware Road. Men's curiosity searches past and future and clings to that dimension, but to apprehend the point of intersection by the timeless with time is an occupation for the saint, no occupation either, but something given and taken in a lifetime's death in love, ardor, and selflessness and self-surrender. For most of us, there is only the unattended moment, the moment in and out of time, the distraction fit, lost in a shaft of sunlight, the wild time unseen, or the winter lightning, or the waterfall, or music heard so deeply that it is not heard at all, but you are the music while the music lasts. These are only hints and guesses, hints followed by guesses, and the rest is prayer, observance, discipline, thought, and action. The hint half guessed, the gift half understood as incarnation. Here the impossible union of spheres of existence is actual. Here the past and future are conquered and reconciled, where action were otherwise movement of that which is only moved and has in it no source of movement, driven by demonic chthonic powers, and right action is freedom from past and future also. For most of us, this is the aim, never here to be realized, who are only undefeated because we have gone on trying. We content at the last, if our temporal reversion nourish not too far from the yew tree, the life of significant soil."